All right, what's up? What's up, everyone? Jason Flagel here. I am very excited about this exclusive conversation with one of the brand evangelists over at PicFu. We've got John Aspinall here with us today. And PicFu is a really awesome company. I'm very excited to kind of dive into this a little bit deeper with John. John is, according to his LinkedIn, says that he helps businesses make data-driven decisions to optimize their product listings and marketing strategies on Amazon. John, I also noticed on the PicFu website that you guys do other kind of polling and features outside of the just the specific Amazon and e-com kind of space. So I'm excited to dive into that too. But I also saw that you have a few patents to your name too, which is pretty exciting. And then, yeah, you recently connected with one of my mutual connections, Kevin King, on your own the PicFu podcast. So for all of our listeners, or if you're watching the YouTube video, please go ahead and check out the PicFu podcast too. And then, yeah, John, it says that you are a self-described Notion addict, which is pretty funny. But yeah, John, thank you. Welcome. And if you don't mind, could you give a little bit more of the background story from any kind of the gaps that I might have missed out just to get the conversation started?
Totally, Jason. I appreciate you for having me. I've been in the e-com space probably pushing about 15 or 16 plus years right now. I've done everything from way back in the day, selling on Amazon, selling on eBay myself from a dorm room in college, all the way through working for manufacturers and working with resellers, working on daily deal websites, working for brands, working for marketplaces, all that kind of good stuff. Most recently, in the past couple of years, I've worked at full service Amazon management agencies, and then since made the transition over to PicFu, which is a breath of fresh air, because I'm on the side of things where I'm very Switzerland. I can help everyone and anyone, and I don't have to pitch too much about buy. So it's definitely a fun change of pace for sure.
How did you get into, like, so you were very heavily in the e-com space, but where did that kind of transition or introduction to PicFu come from? Curious on, yeah, that kind of part of your journey, John.
So it's a little interesting. So there was a gap in my e-com journey, I'll say. Here in New York City, it's gonna pivot a little bit, but it gets interesting, trust, stay with me on this. In New York City, there's a big thing of working for the city. Mm-hmm. So everyone's either a fireman, a police officer, sanitation worker. These are jobs that pay six figures a year. So at a point I was like, huh, let me go for a city job. So I went for a city job, and it's not on my LinkedIn because it's super polarizing, and I kind of removed it from that. Edited it, redacted it. But for a period of about 4 years, I worked as a corrections officer on Rikers Island here in New York City, which is like a max security, you know, jail. And it came a point after the pandemic where my wife and I were having our third child, mm-hmm. and friend of mine that worked at an agency that I wound up going to work at tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, do you want to get back into the space? And I thought, my wife's pregnant, I could take some time off, child care leave, still have that job there if I ever decide to go back to it, work from home, do something I love, why not? Went to go work for that agency, never went back to corrections. From that agency, I wound up going to another, leading agency in the space. And then while I was at that agency, I really focused in and honed in on my LinkedIn presence through the help of the CEO and the rest of the team. We kind of strategized about what's my message, what's my talking point. So I really honed in on CTR, main image refresh, main image hacks, how to make more without spending more. So that was really a lot of my talk track with everything that I did on the LinkedIn platform, which is a powerful platform, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. And then from there, connected with PicFu and used PicFu a ton of times during my talk tracks, during my posts. And eventually the opportunity came where I was looking and they were looking, and it was, I hate the word, but synergy.
And the rest is history. And that's why we're talking today, John. Well, speaking of like using it even on your own LinkedIn, can you tell our listeners and the watchers too, like, what is PicFu? What are some of the like key features and the tools that they can get from using the tool, the system?
Yeah, so PicFu, for most folks in the e-com space, think of it as just an e-com A/B split testing tool. PicFu is a tool to decide anything. So it's basically giving you almost instant consumer research results. So for example, if you're in the e-com space, forget about just Amazon. If you're on Walmart, if you're on Instacart as a grocery, if it's your Shopify site, which is the best brand logo to go with, this or that? Here's my brand logo. Here are three of my top competitors' brand logos. Which one would you prefer and why? And then what happens is the PicFu panelists are going to give you a laundry list of why they would pick it or why they wouldn't pick it. And this is giving you the data-driven research and the responses for you to act upon before, so test before you invest, right? So before you launch a logo, launch a brand, launch a product on Amazon, source a product from Alibaba or wherever else, spend thousands of dollars before you do all this and then learn the hard way. Like my 9-year-old son, I tell him all the time, you have to learn the hard way. I don't know why you have to learn the hard way, but you have to just learn the hard way for you. It's just that's how he is. Don't be like my 9-year-old son. Don't learn the hard way. Get the information before you purchase. So for example, if you wanted to go into the ice cream scooper space, don't go into that space, it's super crowded. But if you wanted to go into that space, you could take the picture from your manufacturer, put it on PicFu, run an individual poll to see what do you like about this product? Would you purchase this product on Amazon and how much would you pay for it? And you get a laundry list of 15 to 30 to 50 responses saying, yes, I would buy this and here's how much I would pay, to let you know what the kind of price point you can command is. And then if some people say, I like it, but I'd rather it in this color, or I'd like it, but I'd rather it in this feature, I'd pay more for this feature. Then before you purchase the one that no one really wants, you can pivot and source the one that people want. And the journey for split testing doesn't, or just overall testing doesn't stop with before you launch. So there's three ways to test: before, during, and after. So you're testing before to make sure for product validation. You're testing during to ensure that you're keeping up with the Joneses on the Amazon SERP, the search engine result page, that your main image is coming across isn't compelling. And then after, if you're looking to sunset that product in e-com, right? Mm-hmm. Should I sunset it for this? Is it this my legacy product versus the newer version out there? Which would you purchase? And more people would purchase the newer one, you know, to sunset that one and not re-up on the inventory for that. So it's a really powerful tool, but we're just talking about e-com. Mm-hmm. We work with publishers for book covers, for blurbs, for, you know, graphics. We work with video game developers on characters, on, you know, mobile app icons. Literally, you could go to a bar and look for two people that are having a disagreement and be like, I think this is better. I think this is better. You just walk up with your iPhone and just be like, let's pick for it, man. And then within like 10 minutes, you'll have the answer from your core customer demographic. And that's the good thing too. So nice. You can have 90 plus demographic traits to drill down to. So Jason, if you're selling ice cream scoops and your avatar, your ICP is women, let's say, you don't care about what guys are saying because you don't want to hear their feedback because it's not for them. So specifically, you could tailor it to Amazon Prime members that are women, and then maybe pets, maybe they go to the gym, maybe they're from the Northeast, and you could have a really tailored consumer data-driven feedback.
That's awesome. So you have like the list, but in the back end of PicFu, when you are using the account, you can kind of pick and choose that targeted demographic, and then you guys send that out to that particular audience, or kind of how does that experience, John, work?
Yeah,
like, so say I'm a business owner in one of my own e-com stores. In the past, I did Bluetooth headphones. So say I wanted to target like women 30 to 45 years old, like you said, I'll use your example, you know, they're Prime members. So like, if I wanted to use PicFu to kind of, maybe do some A/B testing on product images, can you kind of walk me through, like what that would look like on PicFu?
Yeah, so what happens is you would drill down in those character traits of who you're looking to show it to. It would only get shown, the poll would only get shown to that demographic. So the more traits that you pick, if you're very broad and generalized with it, it literally comes back almost instantly because it's a wide pool of people. Yeah. So about 15 minutes or so, if you start to drill down to more specific demographics, right? Because think about it like this, it's a big pond of fish. And if we start talking about size and color and this and that, and third, it gets to be less and less. So it takes a little bit more time. But honestly, once you kind of do that, the responses that you're getting are specifically for your avatar. So let me see if I could pull this up here. Hold on. Yeah, I know for the audio listeners, it's not gonna affect too much, but.
Well, if you are listening on audio, you got to go check out the video on the YouTube channel. Link in the description.
So here's an example poll. If you're shopping on Amazon, which product would you rather buy? This or this? So clearly, they are looking to show the personalized designs and the other options that are here versus just the S. Wow, so this really cool. One in a landslide, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also important to note that because I've been in the Amazon space for quite some time, just because the Pickfu winner this option won for the Pickfu doesn't mean it might always be best practice for Amazon. Mm-hmm. So if it's the main hero image, Amazon might not allow you to say personalized designs with floating text in the ether, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. So again, just be cognizant of, just because the Pickfu won, and I have a lot of examples that I can show, but when you come down here, you have the responses and you could see the age range, the income, and everything, the reason why they like this. So B shows many options, not found on A. I can run the demographic reports here and see how many people. So most folks here were 25 to 34, and they ran this poll generalized, right? So they didn't specify too many traits. Yeah. But if I go down, let's take a look to something like this here. Here's a good one.
That's interesting.
So shopping on Amazon, which floor lamp would you rather buy? So they're looking for product validation. So there's different styles of the lamps over here. And they're just going very generalized, so not specifically. So 50 people, which is a little bit larger than, you know, typical 15 or 30, 34 minutes. So a little over half an hour and you're getting solid consumer feedback. So looking
at this, impressive.
Yeah. Looking at this, right? So you can see by a landslide, 26 respondents preferred this as their top choice. So Jason, imagine if you were sourcing these lamps, which don't look very cheap, right? So if you're sourcing a container of lamps, that probably landed price per unit is, let's just say $15 to $20 a piece times a couple thousand, and you buy the wrong color and no one's buying it, you just screwed up, right? That's not just a oops, that's a couple tens of thousands of dollars oops.
That's right.
Yeah, and then you go down here. Cool. Yeah, and the cool thing is too, we have some AI highlights. So
yeah, I was literally just going to ask you about that, John. Yeah. Like, how are you guys using AI? Because like, this is really rich data that you're getting. Yeah, I'm curious on. So yeah, continue with the AI summary. But yeah, I'm curious on other ways you guys are now kind of integrating AI into the workflow.
Totally. So this is not an AI summary of just like what AI thinks. This is taking all of the respondents and the panelists' responses and aggregating them together here. So you're able to get a high-level summary about what everyone thinks. What I've been using this for is repurposing it in my own AI. So sometimes if I run a poll, I'll take this, as opposed to kind of copy and pasting all the stuff down here, I'll take the high-level AI summary like here, and then I would parse it into ChatGPT or Claude AI. That's my favorite one right now for LLMs. I'm a big fan of Claude.
Yeah, Claude's great.
Yeah. And from this level, I can kind of write whatever I need. I could say in AI, in ChatGPT or Claude, you know, write me a response to my manufacturer to let them know why we need to pivot from this design to that design or something like that.
Yep.
But the cool thing is too, is this is the AI summary, but we have AI highlights over here. So there's AI sentiment. So it's going to tell you what they like, what they dislike about each one. And then you're able to get through AI labs, a natural language question. You get three prompts every 24 hours for free. So you can ask it something like, what reason did most people give as to why they don't like the colors. May take up to 5 minutes, but anyway, you get the point that you're able to give a natural language question to the AI. Oh, here we go. Perfect. Less than, it wasn't even 30 seconds, dude.
Yeah,
that's
really impressive.
Most people give? Yeah, most people who expressed dislike for certain colors mentioned they did not prefer the brass or gold tones in the lamps. Some mentioned that they found the brass or gold to be unappealing, outdated, or not fitting their personal style. So you can see here, maybe that was the only question that I had. I didn't need to go down the rabbit hole of this. Maybe I really just want to know, should I do the brass or gold? And I got my answer right away. Yeah. Hey, Jason, I'm not going to be going with the brass or gold for this one. So just a lot of cool things that you can
do. And yeah, you literally, John, just saved me potentially $10,000 to $20,000, you know, on placing that order, of especially for, the physical products. I'm curious on, do you have any examples with maybe getting into kind of other use cases? A lot of my background personally, and a lot of the clients I work with are, you know, in the thought leadership space or like online course space. You know, do you have any examples of that on, you know, like testing out digital products? I'm curious on that, John, if, you know, Pick2 works really well in that category too.
Yeah, so I don't have one kind of queued up per se, but what I can kind of show you is, bear with me a second here.
Yeah, and maybe while you're pulling that up, what is, because obviously AI is huge in my own audience and, you know, on the podcast too, John. You'd mentioned the AI summary, the AI highlights, but what are it maybe publicly that you can talk about, but you know, what are some other ways that you guys are kind of exploring integrating AI into what you guys are doing with your own workflow?
So outside, just being quite honest, outside of the AI summary and the AI lab, the AI sentiment, that's really kind of where it wraps around. I think where the strong footing of Pick2 comes is not integrating AI into the responses. They're real people. Yeah. So that's something that, you know, the AI is used as a tool in the toolbox to kind of aggregate the real people answers and the real person kind of feedback. So I think it's important to know that. So outside of just aggregating the data together, it's real people that are responding to these queries, because, you know, when you're about to invest, when you're about to pivot from a brand, I could ask AI right now, what do you think, A, B, or C? And it might give me like a generic kind of ChatGPT answer.
Right.
And then if I go based on that, that's not really my avatar. That's not really my ICP.
And at the end of the day, it could still be a hallucination, you know? Might not be accurate.
No, totally. I'm just trying to pull this up here because I actually ran a Pick2. Of course, my mainframe. The mainframe is down. I'm reaching out to a lot of thought leadership people and SMEs in the LinkedIn space for branding, because I've actually done a poll where it was, we're going to do a template for a Q&A style thing for me to post on LinkedIn. Oh, here it is right here. So if you're browsing LinkedIn and this carousel came up on your feed, which would be more appealing to read? So even we use it for me to do something like this. And I'm like, oh, okay, I thought this was looking a little bit more appealing for popping up on your feed, but a lot more people like this one because it shows question and answer.
Yeah.
So even these
kinds of
things, if you're a brand and brand awareness and posting on LinkedIn or posting on these places, if you would have went with this option, right, the option B, it's not going to resonate with your audience enough. And that the message, you know, it's not monetary money that you're losing, but it's time and effort that you're losing. And time is one thing you can't get back, right? So
that's right.
How do you want to spend your time? Being more efficient or being less efficient?
Yeah. Right. Wow, this is really powerful. I love that example. And again, if you are just tuning into the audio version, you definitely want to check out the video version of this, because the what John just shared on his screen and the examples is really, really powerful. I want to shift gears a little bit, John, to kind of go into like your opinion on especially where e-com is going and kind of the future outlook, because I mentioned Kevin King was on your Pick2 podcast recently. You know, Kevin,
he's actually tomorrow is the first episode of the podcast.
Nice. Okay. That's even better. Yeah. So I listened to Kevin. Kevin is like an expert, you know, an e-com expert, especially related to Amazon too. We spoke together at the Online Seller Cruise event. I learned so much just listening to him too. And it was really interesting. This was in January of 2024, just to put a kind of timestamp on it. But, you know, obviously a lot of things are changing around the world. You know, a lot of kind of Amazon changes too. But yeah, I'm curious on just maybe in a few minutes, you know, where do you see e-com kind of going for the future? And is there ways that at Picfu, how you guys are kind of like trying to adapt to that change?
Yeah, so it's definitely very interesting. So, and something that's on topic right now with in the front of everyone's kind of mind, because with Amazon and brands on Amazon, everyone's constantly complaining Amazon fees are too high. Amazon fees are too high. Amazon advertising is so expensive. Where else can I diversify? So then that's when people start to venture out into the Walmarts of the world. They venture out to the TikTok shops. They venture out into other things. I think as the landscape changes and grows, Picfu is your universal tool. And I hate the word universal because it sounds so not specific, but it truly is, I think a better better way to say it is your Swiss Army knife. Because, you know, if you pivot to diversifying on Walmart, Picfu is there to help you tell you if this is a better image, this one or that one. If you diversify onto TikTok shop, one thing that we were talking about the other day in a marketing meeting was how can Picfu be used for someone that sells on TikTok, especially when you're scrolling in your TikTok shop. I'm sure you've seen it, TikTok, you get inundated with ads and all this other
stuff. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the live stream that pops up. Well, here's the thing. Would you rather buy this pair of men's underwear from this UGC creator or this UGC creator? And then you can see that through a Picfu poll, a simple A-B poll, head-to-head poll, your audience and your ICP would rather buy this men's underwear from this UGC creator. So before you invest a couple thousand dollars in UGC content and UGC creators, spend that money wisely. Another thing is we're finding a lot of people that are in the consumable space. So if you're doing cookies, crackers, you know, protein powders, mixes, drinks, just anything grocery, they're expanding further into things like Instacart, you know, in grocery stores. One thing about Instacart, so Instacart, and there's another one. Why am I not thinking in my head right now? Shipt. Shipt and Instacart. Those platforms, if you look at them on the apps, there's merchandising points on there as well. So there's, you have a main image on Shipt and Instacart as well. So we're finding that these partners are testing this. If you're buying groceries, would you prefer this image or this image? Because it has to be more compelling to see, would I click on this can of marinara sauce or this can of marinara sauce? So all these different ways throughout the whole entire journey, Picfu is there to help you. You can use Picfu even if you didn't have a business and you were a college kid looking to submit a resume to get a job, and which headshot looks better, this one or this one for hiring, right? So it's really a decision-making tool. Well, you got to make the decision at the end of the day yourself, but it's going to be that companion that's giving you that data-driven research.
That's right. Yeah, one of my heroes of life is Zig Ziglar. And one of his famous quotes, John, was always new information equals new decision. So I love that, because what you're doing with Picfu is like you're giving so much helpful data. Like, number one, you're giving people access to an audience that's, you know, targeted to kind of their demographic and who they're going after. But then you're like asking them, prompting them with that information, getting real feedback. And now you've got that data that can help you make those informed decisions, which is like super powerful. I mean, even me personally and almost selfishly, I'm like, okay, we run a lot of, you know, paid advertising campaigns for different brands too. like we like poll regularly our audience on like, oh, which creatives, you know, do they like better? But literally we can use PicFu to go in there and now do a lot of those kind of ABC, you know, versions of those creatives and now add that right into the testing. Yeah, that's like a super powerful example on like why I'm excited and I think why everyone else should be really excited too, John. Because like you said, it's that helpful decision-making tool. So I know we're kind of getting close to time here, John, and I've got just a few more questions, but say I want to get kind of tactical because a lot of people, you know, that watch my YouTube channel and especially listen to the podcast too, they're always looking for like step-by-step strategies or kind of tactics to grow. So for a new startup or for a company that's kind of looking to innovate with like a new product or a new service, what do you recommend on like using a PicFu? Like what would be a good kind of strategy to get them started? Because, and I'm also asking this for myself because like I want to get started with PicFu too, John. But yeah, what is like maybe a step-by-step process for people who are tuning in to get started with PicFu?
So first thing is we offer coaching calls. So if someone is not sure about something, if they're, I don't know where I want to get started, I don't know what I want to source on Amazon, I don't know if this is viable, I don't know the strategy, you could always book a coaching call with me. Beyond that, I just created a video recently that's going to be on our YouTube channel shortly. I'll share with the link with you afterwards, but it's understanding product validation. So I took a product from Alibaba. I just put that one image. So it's basically an open-ended poll. It's not this versus that. I said, would you buy this product on Amazon and how much would you pay for it? And I got a list of 30 responses saying, and there's a garlic press. Don't get in the garlic press space. It's super sexy. Just use it as an example. But basically, I was showing the journey of PicFu is not a one and done type thing. You have to keep on iterating over and over again to make sure that you're making the best decision. So I took the image, I put it up there. I said, would you buy this product on Amazon? How much would you pay for it? People said, yes, I would, $10. No, I won't, looks cheap. Yes, I would, $20. And then I aggregated all the responses together and I said, a lot of people would pay more if it had more features. So I went back onto Alibaba. I kept the same image because I would source Alibaba stuff just for examples. I don't buy, I just source.
Yeah.
But then I found another garlic press that had a cleaner and a garlic shell remover or something like that, which is the standard one that everyone's going for. Then I ran the second PicFu poll. I said, this or this? And then more people went with the one with the accessories on it and the different colors because that's what they like. So now I went from, do I want to get into the garlic press space? Okay, I want to get into it. There's some viability there. Now, which version am I going to go with? This or this? Okay, great. They like this style. The third poll that I would run is, do you prefer black and white or multiple colors? Okay, you'd prefer black and white over multiple colors. Now I know which product I'm sourcing. The next step is creating my main hero image and my image stack on Amazon. Now that I know that's what I'm sourcing and how where I'm going with it, I'm having my in-house designer or Fiverr or even PicFu. We now actually do a done-for-you service where if you don't want to do the design yourself, if you want us to create your main hero image, we'll do the main hero image, we'll do your A+ content, we'll do your image stack, we do it all for you. But then that fourth, fifth, and sixth poll is not really product validation, but it's creative validation to making sure that your main hero image is the best over your competition. And then throughout the next journey, so you could see how it's not a one and done thing. You could see how it's a multiple phase thing. And even if you get to the final version, that's going to be amazing. In 45 days from now, in 60 days from now, in 90 days from now, someone like me can come up and knock you out of the top rank with a better looking image. So it's always ABT, always be testing.
Yeah, I love that. Super, super valuable information, John, there. I love the kind of step-by-step flow. So I, with kind of getting to the one of the final questions, I want to ask about why you kind of see brands on Amazon failing. So specifically to some of the challenges, because we started early on talking about like brands that are happening or on Amazon, but there are things happening around the world that are like very challenging, like you were saying, the Amazon fees. What do you think are some of the greatest challenges facing these brands that are trying to sell on Amazon? And then can you connect that to what you guys offer with PickFu? I mean, some of it I can already kind of assume, you know, the help there. But yeah, what do you see on are some of kind of the greatest like failure reasons on selling on Amazon, and how can kind of PickFu help, yeah, overcome those?
So there's some things PickFu can help, and there's some things PickFu can't help. So one of the biggest reasons I see people failing on Amazon is they give up. Mm. That's the biggest reason. So what do I mean by when they give up? They, oh, the fees are so high. Oh, it's expensive. Oh, there's this. There's a long-term storage fee. There's this fee. The ads are going up. It's super expensive. I'm just gonna sell on Shopify. Or I'm gonna sell on Instagram, and they fizzle out. That's not something PickFu can help with, right? That's, you know, doubling, tripling down on the monster that's in the space. Yeah, there's some up and comers, but really no one's going to be Goliath right now, which is Amazon. So the way that I tell people to drown out the noise of high fees and high ads is do more business. Most people don't like hearing that because they're like, well, I do more business, I got more ad sales, and I want more ad spend and more fees. More money, more problems, right? That's right. Which is a great song from the 90s. So I think where PickFu can help a lot of these people in the space of why things are failing on Amazon is they don't have a good main hero image. CTR, click-through rate, is one of the most important things that you should be tracking on Amazon. Everyone says, CTRs, conversions are better than CTRs. Of course conversions are better than CTRs, but you have to have a good CTR before you have a conversion.
Right.
It all starts with the click. Mahatma Gandhi said it best. It all starts with the click. He didn't say that. So, you know, understanding that your main hero image has to be very compelling, has to be very interesting, has to, you know, just looking overall, and that's another thing you want to pick through as well. You know, testing your main image against your competitor, you may win against that one competitor, but how do you look on the overall SERP, the search engine result page? You have to pull back a little bit and see, okay, just because I beat this competitor head to head, how do you stand out? So for example, in melatonin, everything is purple. Everything is purple on melatonin, and for gummies, for pills, whatever, because it associates with sleepy, nighttime, this and that. So if you're going with purple, I mean, you should go with purple anyway, but just understand how, what hue of purple helps you stand out from the SERP. Maybe a brighter purple, maybe a darker purple. So it's important to see that. So CTR and main hero image is probably the most important thing people should be focusing on that they're not, because a lot of bigger brands don't really care about it, especially if they're in a 1P vendor central relationship.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that's the biggest thing you'd want to take a look at.
Wow, that's super helpful. Yeah, because I think, I can't remember at the Online Seller Cruise event, but someone actually used melatonin as like a good example, because they were talking about, you know, how do you come up with creative ideas for that image to really stick out in kind of the sea of other products, especially in a competitive space. And that's where, again, like PickFu is the perfect platform to go and use, because now you have an opportunity to come up with creative ideas, but which one is going to perform best? And then you actually take that and, yeah, like you said, test it real time. What are those kind of real results, you know, showing there? So, man, John, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just I want to throw my AI nerd hat into the room.
Please do.
So what I would do is I would go to like something like Claude or ChatGPT. Just kidding, it's only Claude for me. I canceled my ChatGPT subscription just because I can't be like subscription inundated, right?
Yes.
Like we think where it's like you pay for Netflix, you pay for Hulu, you pay for the, I can't do it with my LLM AIs, right? So I stuck to Claude, especially with the investment from Amazon. So I'm like, okay, I'm staying with Claude. So yep. I would go to Claude and I would say, besides purple, what are top three colors that resonate for melatonin, sleepiness, and calming? And then I would let the AI tell me what top three colors, probably like a pale blue, probably like a pale green. And then what I would do is then I would run the pick food against those iterations of those different colors. And then that's how I would see. So it's important to use AI on your own to then input those results into something like PickFu, so that you understand the iteration. Because if you're inundated with just purple, or which sticks out more. So if you look at the SERP and it's all dark purple, maybe you go light purple, and you could test all that on PickFu as well.
Yeah, that's really helpful. What are some other, speaking to specifically to that, John, what are some other kind of maybe power combos of, like you said, Claude? I am a huge fan of Claude. A lot of what I do, you know, in terms of my video content on other videos on my YouTube channel is very ChatGPT specific too, but I do use a lot of Claude in some of the use cases. But what are some other kind of power combos or like even prompts that you found where you're using Claude and then going to PickFu, or you get results from PickFu and then going back into Claude? Are there any kind of good like use cases that you found with that power combo?
Yeah, so I think, I know this is not answering your question, but one tool that I would say that someone needs to have in an arsenal, you know, in their armory of tools for Amazon and e-com, is Canva. I think next to AI, Canva. Are you familiar with Canva?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a pro subscription holder.
Yeah, so I think for $12 a month, Canva is the best bang for your buck that you could ever get in the space, because. And I know my agency partners and, you know, all these other people out there, they don't like when I say this kind of stuff, but you don't need an agency or a graphic designer to iterate all these different things that you want to do on Amazon through PickFu. Just something so simple as Canva. And Canva has a ton of AI baked inside of it.
That's right.
For DALL-E 3, for mockups, for all this other sort of good stuff. So I would say that my next, if you're looking at tools, and PickFu's number one and Claude's number two, Canva's number three for sure. But I'm a big fan of prompts too. I know that was your other question. I have my own baked out prompts for my LinkedIn post. Follow me on LinkedIn. And I use, you know, Apple Notes, export as a PDF of my prompt into Claude. Yep. And I think that as we grow and evolve more into AI and the Neuralinks of the world and all this other stuff, we're going to pivot and grow accordingly. So you'll probably see a lot more cool stuff coming out in the future.
That's right. Well, I'm a huge fan of, because even with our audience, I get this question a lot, which is, you know, am I going to be replaced? Is my job going to be replaced? And usually, and what I've been finding with talking to other, especially AI experts, is that it's not a replacement. It's mostly like a co-pilot. I think even Satya Nadella from Microsoft, you know, talked about that, you know, AI done right is going to be like a co-pilot. You're going to be the pilot, but you're going to also have someone in the co-pilot seat with you that's going to help you do a lot of the kind of like repetitive work, the automated kind of work that needs to be done. And it's going to help empower you to be more efficient and have like a greater leverage. And what you just mentioned there, John, is like, if you have PickFu, you've got whatever AI tool, whether that's ChatGPT or Claude, and Canva to do a lot of the creative kind of assets, like that is a trifecta of like a leg up, you know, in terms of like beating your competitors. If you just use that, yeah, that's going to be a really powerful kind of system. Now, what I'm doing and testing out a lot with AI is like the Canva AI, Notion also. I know you are a Notion addict. You know, Notion AI is
Notion AI to me, not to interrupt you, I'm from New York. Notion AI, I like it, but I don't like it. I'll tell you why. Notion AI won't disclose what's the LLM that they're using, that it's kind of their own. It's a mix of this. So I found that Claude writes better for me than Notion AI, and I don't know. This is too much. I'm getting AI inundated, right? So have you noticed some good things with Notion AI or no?
Yeah, I do a lot. The summary I found has been pretty helpful, but in terms of like content creation and that capability, I am definitely not impressed. I've got a YouTube channel, a video on my YouTube channel talking about Notion AI, and I walk through some of those like challenges and pitfalls that I found, John, which I totally agree with you there. I think my guess just on the behavior that I've observed is it's probably a GPT 3.5, GPT-4 from OpenAI LLM is what they're using. Because in terms of like customization, it's not that great. And as you know, with Claude 3, which just came out, like that, the performance is really, really good there. So yeah, I'm hoping that they make other improvements. I'm also a huge user of ClickUp, and ClickUp has ClickUp AI too. But a lot of these kind of bigger brands, and this is where I'm recommending against it, a lot of companies are just trying to embrace AI to say that they have AI.
Just for the sake of AI.
Which is the wrong thing to do. It's like everything you talked about, John, which is like, what is a very specific use case that you can use AI in and help you do? Because at the end of the day, AI is just going to be, like you said, more noise. It's another thing to try to learn. But, you know, and that's a lot of where I'm passionate about is teaching people how to use these tools the right way rather than kind of, it just becomes noise at the end of the day.
the Notion Q&A, I don't know exactly what it's called per se, but their search function with the AI that they've launched, I think it's Q&A, is actually really powerful. Where you can search a doc with natural language. I think that's a really powerful kind of tool.
I love that. Well, John, thank you. Yeah, I know we're here at getting into time, but thank you so much for the insights. I mean, again, if you guys are listening to this podcast episode, go check out the full video, because when John shared his screens, there are some really good use cases and examples that you got to check out there. John, how can people get connected to PicFu to learn more about it? And then especially with you and your LinkedIn and everything, how can they get connected to you as well?
Yeah, totally. Well, PicFu, shortest URL and domain I've worked for to date, PICKFU.com.
Nice.
Sounds a little rough at the end, but don't worry. you can email me, aspinall@picfu.com, aspinall@picfu.com, or search John Aspinall on LinkedIn. I post daily on LinkedIn, a lot of CTR content, a lot of showcasing examples. Also, we have our weekly podcast that's kicking off tomorrow at noon with Kevin King. It's going to be outside of this week. It's going to be every Thursday at noon Eastern time on our LinkedIn, and also segues to live on our YouTube account as well.
Awesome. Fantastic, John. So be sure to check that out, guys. Show notes will be down here in the description, and I'll also include all the links that John mentioned here too. But John, thank you so much. If you guys are not subscribed, please go ahead and like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you are joining us on your podcasting platform, make sure that you hit that subscribe button to not miss any of the other upcoming videos and podcast episodes that we've got coming on. And with that, remember to keep moving forward, and I will catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.